Well, good morning to everybody. I'm glad that you are here today. It's Sunday, Thanksgiving this week. Some people are already started their vacation, their break, so that's a blessing. That's nice. And so we've got some that will be traveling and some that will be spending time with family this week. So as we all remember God's love and His blessings to us, we above all others have reasons to be thankful. So let's make sure this week and all that we say and all that we do that God is receiving our thanksgiving. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer and then we'll get in the Word. Our Father in heaven, we praise Your name and we thank You for bringing us together this morning. We thank You for the rain. We thank You for reminding our hearts of the love that You have for us and the sacrifice that Jesus made on our behalf. And we thank You, Father, for accepting His life for ours. We thank You, Father, for restoring His life and placing Him in His glory. And Father, we thank You for the forgiveness of sins. We thank You for making us a holy temple, not based on our own works, but based on the righteousness of Christ in which His Spirit lives and dwells within us. Father, we are thankful. We are thankful because we know us before we knew You. And Father, we are thankful because we know us now. We praise Your name. And as we look at Your scriptures this morning, I pray that You open our hearts to be encouraged. I pray that You open our hearts to receive, that each of us will continue to press on, that each of us will pursue Christ in our lives, and each of us will be willing to share with others all that You have shared with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're in Acts 18, but I'm going to go back and start in Philippians chapter 3 that Chris read for us. Because about this time in our study of Acts, and remember the big picture, this is where we began in Philippians 3 of the fact that we are actively pursuing Christ. And so what we see in the story of Acts is the resurrected Christ gone back to heaven and leaving His Holy Spirit in those who would believe in Him, and guiding the steps of His followers as the good news of what Jesus has done is being declared throughout the whole world. And as we are made active participants in what God is trying to accomplish in the world around us, as we are chasing after Christ, not chasing with the righteousness of our own good works, but chasing the love that He has shown us, and every day getting closer and closer to the time in which that day that we get to see Him face to face. And sometimes on a journey, it's good to go back and look at why you're on that journey. Because sometimes we get in a direction or we just kind of lose our way and we just kind of forget of why we're doing the things that we do. Why is it important to us? And our hearts need to be reminded from time to time, so that we will have strength for the journey, that we will not give up, that we will not let go, that we will not turn away, but that we will continue the plan and the purpose that is set before us. So I wanted to go back to Philippians chapter 3 and hear the Apostle Paul that we're going to read about in Acts chapter 18. He gives us some good words, and he reminds us in verse 12 of Philippians chapter 3, look, I'm not complete. I haven't obtained what I am reaching for, but here's what I do. I keep pressing on. I keep pursuing. I keep chasing my goal. And that is a very good word for each and every one of us, just in our own personal faith, as you and I are given opportunities to be faithful to God each and every day. As you and I know our own weaknesses and our own failures of yesterday better than anybody else, it is good to be reminded that those are the things we're going to leave behind us. Those are the things that we are going to leave back here so that we can press forward. Because We know, we all know, that one of the things that keeps us from pursuing Christ in faith is us. One of the things that keeps us from pursuing Christ in faith is yesterday, our past, our history. Whether it's things that have been done to us or things that we have done. Whether we are holding on to a grudge of something that someone has slighted us or insulted us or said something to us or done something to us, that we carry that pain within us and we don't put that down so that we may be unburdened to follow in the footsteps of Jesus. And so as we come to Thanksgiving, and as he says in verse 13, "One thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those of us who are mature think this way. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. Let us hold true to what we have attained." So the Christian life is every single day you and I are holding on to where we're at. We are letting go of what's behind us, and we are constantly moving forward. That's been the story of the book of Acts. We have seen the disciples and the apostles do this very same thing. They would go from place to place and town to town, and we've seen the apostle Paul, and we have seen other disciples, that they are, wherever they are at, they are doing the work of Christ. They are sharing the good news of Jesus, and they'll leave some places, and we've seen Paul, we've seen him get chased out of towns. I mean, we've seen him get stoned for his trouble. We've seen him thrown in jail, and we've seen terrible things happen, and then yet day after day he just gets up and he keeps moving forward, and he keeps remembering that there is a greater purpose for all of my efforts for God's eternal kingdom. So I can't focus too much or put my energy in what happened yesterday. I can't get lost in what has happened to me before. Now, side note, Thursday is Thanksgiving, and those of us that are mature may be coming together with some loved ones, some family members, or maybe just some extra family that we don't spend a lot of time with. There may be some things between you and some of your family members that you need to leave in the past. That's what mature people do. Let it go. Leave it back there. Press forward. Because I know sometimes we're like, okay, I'm really going to do it. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. And they open their mouth, the first word out of their mouth. And you're like, well, that plan's gone. I guess this is just going to be like every other family get together. Let the bickering begin. That's not us. That's not us. That's old ways. That's old ways and that's old patterns. And we can't get stuck in that. And we must set our minds on those things above that we are working towards. We cannot get stuck in those old patterns of the past. And that's difficult to do with family members. I know. It's difficult to do with loved ones. But that's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. And spiritual maturity, that's how we think. I'm going to leave the past in the past. I'm going to leave the hurt in the past. I'm going to leave the insults in the past. I'm moving towards something better. I'm moving towards something better. So, if nothing else, and you just get through Thursday and whatever that looks like for you and this weekend and whoever you get to be around, leave the past in the past. We're pressing forward. We're actively pursuing Christ. And we are not going to let anybody, not family members, not friends, not enemies, not loved ones, not hated ones, we're not going to let anybody veer us off course to where we're going. So we're going to set that in our hearts first and foremost. So, in Acts chapter 18, let's turn over there. This is going to be our text today. Acts chapter 18. We're in the second half of this chapter. For those of you that weren't with us last Sunday, you saw that the first half of Acts chapter 18, God does something great for Paul, because Paul's been, you know, chased out of town. He's had some of the Jews that don't believe in Jesus have been kind of chasing him from town to town. And back in verse 9, this was our text last week of Acts chapter 18. God speaks up, and we haven't seen letters in red since chapter 10. Well, we see the letters of red. God speaks up here in this chapter, and his words to Paul, his encouragement to Paul in verse 9, "Do not be afraid. Go on speaking and do not be silent. I am with you. No one will attack you to harm you, and I have many in this city who are my people." So he just comes in at just the right time, and he gives Paul a word of encouragement, and he says, Paul, now is not the time to look back. Now is not the time to give up. Now is not the time to quit. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And he actually tells Paul, hey, this part of your journey, this leg of your missionary work, it's going to be a little bit easier. It's going to be a little bit more peaceful. And we're going to see today how Paul gets some help. So let's pick up our text today. We are in verse 18. Acts 18:18. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchreae, he had cut his hair, for he was under a vow, and they came to Ephesus, and he left them there, but he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer period, he declined. But on taking leave of them, he said, I will return to you if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. After spending some time there, he departed and went from one place to the next throughout the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. All right, so Paul, we see, is going to new places with the gospel. So he's going on his missionary journey. He is preaching the gospel. He is establishing communities of believers. And we see in this section that he is not only going to new areas, but he is also kind of double backing. Oh, no. Sorry. That's not. Somebody give me a synonym for double backing. Going back. Doubling. Thank you. Yeah, double backing. Sorry. I'm sorry. Whew, my brain, I got stuck on that one. Doubling back. Thank you. That's how you say it. So we see that Paul is doubling back to Antioch. He spent a lot of time in Antioch, right? That was one of the major ones. And so he's going to these new places. He is picking up some partners. So we get Aquila and Priscilla have joined the party, and they kind of they share his work, and so they've got something in common. So they get to work in the gospel, but then also with their tent making business, and that's what Paul has a skill. So they get to work together, and they get to share the gospel wherever they are at. Now it's interesting in this section that he's going back to encourage some churches that he has already established, but he gets to go to Ephesus. Now, a couple chapters back, which has been a few weeks, but in Acts chapter 16, verse 6, you remember when the Holy Spirit said no? That was Ephesus. Holy Spirit said no. We're not going there. He had plans to go there. Paul's like, yeah, we're going to Asia. And the Holy Spirit said, no, you're not. Now he gets there. Now, as far as time goes, this is about 2 years. It's about 2 years. So God says no 2 years ago. Now it's okay, and Paul goes to Ephesus. You and I are familiar with the letter to the Ephesians. It became an important city, became an important church, and it became an important letter for them and for us today. Paul says a lot of amazing things in Ephesians, if you read through the book of Ephesians. So there's so much there, but it's important to note, and it's important to see, because so often when God tells us no, it's hard not to get your feelings hurt, isn't it? We're praying about something, we're asking for something, and God says no. And we look at God and go, well, why not? Because this, surely, Lord, this is a yes. And I'm having a real hard time with your no. Because in my wisdom, this is the best thing to happen right now. In my wisdom, this is really the decision that needs to happen. These are the steps that need to happen. This is the direction my life needs to take. And God very clearly, two chapters back, said to Paul, no. Now, he gets to go to Ephesus. What do I take from that? What does that mean to me? Well, sometimes when God says no, he means wait. He means wait. You ever got a no from God and you push forward anyway? God says, yeah, this is not the door for you. Oh, I think it is, Lord. Let me just put my helmet on and I'm going to run right through it. Sometimes it doesn't work out so well, does it? But we want the yes when we ask. We want the yes right now. And sometimes God says no for our own good, and sometimes that no will turn into a yes when we are ready or when the situation is ready. So we are reminded we are reminded of God's promise to Paul that I am with you. I'm with you. So Paul's going through new churches. He's going back to Antioch. He's encouraging the disciples there. And he is free. He's free to move. He's free to teach. He is building up all of these churches. And we don't read of any people chasing him down or hunting his life. So God's promise is coming true. Hey, I'm with you. You got believers where you're going. It's going to be good. So you just keep it up. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. And so Paul gets a little bit, I guess if you can call it that, just a little bit of time of peace in his work. So you and I, what do? We are reminded that just like God says to Paul here, God says the same thing to us. God strengthens us in our purposes for his kingdom. God strengthens us for his purposes, or our purpose in his kingdom. We all have a role to play. We all have people in front of us every single day. Your purpose this week just might be shining the light into someone in your family. And maybe it's just someone you've had a problem. Your purpose this week may be to mending a hurt relationship. Your purpose this week just might be sharing Jesus with someone that maybe you've just been afraid to talk to about it, or there's just been something there. Whatever your purpose is this week, God is your strength. God is your strength. He is with us. He is with you. Okay? We have to remember that. We have to hold on to that so that we don't get off track, that we don't just get tired or exhausted or just think, I don't want to do this today. This is not my purpose today. It's a holiday, right? I'm not going to worry about what Jesus wants for me today. I'm going to watch football and eat turkey. That's what today is. Now, God has a purpose for us, and whatever that is, let's be faithful to that. All right, let's pick it up here in chapter 24. Chapter 24, we are introduced. It says, now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, and Alexandria would have been in, anybody? Nobody? There it is. What did I say? Oh, sorry. No, we're still in chapter 18, verse 24. We're double backing, okay? Stick with me, church. Come on. See, that's a test. See if anybody's got the gift of interpreting tongues, all right? So, all right, we're in verse 24. And yes, Alexandria, this guy's from Egypt. Now, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He's better than me. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he knew only the baptism of John. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. And when he wished to cross to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote the disciples to welcome him. When he arrived, he greatly helped those who through grace had believed, for he powerfully refuted the Jews in public, showing by the scriptures that the Christ was Jesus. All right, so here we get this guy Apollos. He comes from Egypt, all right? He comes from Egypt, and now they're up in Asia, so he has gone across the sea. He has come north, and he is there, and he is all about Jesus. He is telling people about Jesus, and he is going, this is God's promised Messiah. This is the one that all of us that know of God have been waiting for. Very eloquent. People are being convinced. This guy knows his stuff, knows what he's talking about. But he's kind of late to the party, so he didn't catch Jesus' baptism. He's only aware of John's baptism. Okay, so he's out there talking, and Aquila and Priscilla, they take him to the side, and they're like, brother, come here for a second. They have a sit down, and they help him out. They explain the way of Christ more thoroughly. You know what they didn't do? They're sitting there. They're hearing him talk about it. He's sharing the gospel message. They didn't stand up and say, "Heretic!" That's not what they did. They said, "Brother, hey, come here. You need to know something." They talked to him about Jesus' baptism. Well, this is a very important distinction, right? Because we know, even back in Acts chapter 1, Jesus himself tells us the difference between John's and Jesus' baptism, right? Jesus says, "John baptized you with water. I baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, it's already told to us. Apollos is, in fact, he is, he's fervent in spirit. He is excited. He is a go-getter. And he taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, but he's not aware of the Spirit and that baptism. So Priscilla and Aquila explain to Apollos what God is doing more accurately. Now, let's go back to, we're not done in Acts, but I want to go back to Romans. Excuse me, Philippians, sorry. Back in Philippians chapter 3, go down to verse 17. Philippians 3:17 says, "Brothers, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." All right. So Paul here is writing to the church in Philippi and basically teaching this lesson that Apollos learned. Because Apollos is out there, he's telling people about Jesus, and he has his husband-wife team that come up to him and say, "Hey, you need to be aware of something. You don't know the whole story. You need this other information." He could have responded in a very negative way, right? Because none of us like being corrected. "Don't tell me. I know it just fine. You don't have to tell me anything." But that's not what happens. Apollos receives their instruction. And that's what Paul is writing here in Philippians chapter 3:17. He says, "Look, join in imitating me and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." That means, church, that we are either an example for someone, even for fellow believers, or our fellow believers, our brothers and sisters in Christ, can be an example for us. And so Paul says, keep your eyes on each other. Learn from each other. We're not instructed by each other so as to win the debate or win the argument. We don't get our feelings hurt when someone says, "Hey, I think there's a better way to understand that," or "there's a more full way to understand that." We are helping one another. We are all working for God's purposes. It's not a competition, okay? Jesus isn't going to come back and say, "Okay, get out your number two pencils. We're going to have a written test to see who gets in." That's not what's going to happen. It's not. But if we need to understand something more fully, if we need to have a better understanding of what God is doing, we can help each other in that. We're supposed to help each other in that. And that was the lesson that Paul learned. That's the lesson that Apollos learned back here in Acts chapter 18. And then Paul writes about it in Philippians chapter 3. And he says, watch those who walk according to our example. So in Acts chapter 18, we get this lesson that, number one, God helps us. God helps us. He is our strength. He is always with us. He says, there is no reason to be afraid because I am with you. I'm with you everywhere you go. I am with you at every single turn. There's nowhere you go that I have not been. There's nowhere you go that I will not be. I am with you. So we have the very promise of God and his eternal presence guiding our steps. And then we see in this next chapter, or this next section of Acts chapter 18, we also have one another. We also have one another. We have the example of others. These are two very powerful things in our walk to accomplish the purpose that God has for our lives. We have his eternal presence, and we have each other. That's a pretty powerful thing. That's a pretty powerful, two very powerful things. Let's turn over to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. down to verse 23. Galatians 3, 23. Now, before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came, in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Okay, so Paul writes to the church here in Galatians chapter 3. He says, look, when you were baptized, you have put on Christ. You have put on Christ. That means, I mean, to put on purpose, to put on Christ, it means we now have the purpose of Christ. We now have the power of Christ. We have His direction. We have His goal. We have His strength to accomplish the task. We are filled with His Spirit. We are given His connection to the Father. And then Paul says, because, let's see, verse 28, in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. Whoever was baptized into Christ had put on Christ. So the conclusion of that is in chapter 28. So since we have all put on Christ, there is not Jew nor Greek. There's not slave or free. There's not male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. We are heirs according to promise. We are all one in Christ. We are connected to Him, and we are connected to one another. So we get to receive the Word of God. We get to hear and understand when God speaks to us and says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to go there. Don't be afraid to keep on talking about Jesus and what He has done. Don't be afraid to share the gospel, because we know from Romans chapter 1, that is God's power to save souls. God's power to save souls has been given to us. We've received it, we've accepted it, and we've been included in sharing that for more people to believe it. So God has given us His very power to save souls eternally. And then He gives us opportunities every single day to not be afraid, but to keep on speaking, to keep on talking, to keep on sharing, to keep on, well, whether I guess it's our family at Thanksgiving or it's that heathen that we work with, we get opportunities every day. Keep on talking. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. If it's good enough for us and we know what a difference it makes in our life, then others need to hear about that. We don't need to fear what's going to happen from it. We need to make sure that everyone around us knows what God has done for them through His Son, Jesus Christ. The world needs to know. And God has carried us through that. And while we do that, we're going to receive encouragement from God. And if we are open, we're going to receive an example from fellow believers. An example for fellow believers. And that's why when Paul writes here in Galatians, he is trying to say, look, you're all one in Christ. You're all one in Christ. If there is any unity that exists anywhere, it should be here, right? It should be. But if any of you have been, you know, a Christian or a part of a church for any amount of time, you know that that's not always the case. We're not always the best example of always getting along. Our track record's not great, but God's track record is perfect. God's track record is perfect, so we need to follow His example. We have been baptized into Christ. We're not baptized into me. We're baptized into you or anybody else. We're His. We belong to Him. And so now we have taken on the things that He has given us. We've given our life. We said, Lord, all right, here's what I got. I got me. I got my sin. I got my problems. I got my troubles. And I'm going to give those things to you. It's not much, but I believe. I'm going to give you my faith. I'm going to give you my trust. And Jesus says, that I can work with. And He takes our faith, and He takes our belief, and He includes us to himself and all that he is doing. And then he says, just like he says to them in the book of Acts, all right now, it's time to get out there and share such things with others. It's time to share what you have received. It's time to spread the good news about what Jesus has done for the world. It's time to bring hope and light to a dark and a lost place and to a dark and a lost people and to let them know what God has done for them. Church, that's how, in Philippians chapter 3, that's how we press on. That's how we actively pursue. Jesus Christ has made us his own. He has taken our life, all the bad and all the negative and all the sin and all the just stuff that we bring to the table, and he accepts us and he loves us and he forgives us, and he says, okay, I'm going to wash you clean. I'm going to make you brand new inside and out. And I'm going to fill you with my very spirit, with my presence, my essence. And that's what you're going to carry with you from now on, every day and every step of the way. And as you and I are just constantly, actively pursuing our goal to be face to face with Jesus, you and I all have the same goal. We want to get there, we want to see him, and we want to glorify him, we want to praise him, we just want to bask in his presence. We are working towards that, and as we do, it is going to be absolutely necessary for you and I to get over our own stuff. For you and I to forgive others, and if anyone has hurt us, so be it. They owe us nothing. They owe us nothing. They may owe God something. That's between them and God. But as far as it's up to us, we're going to live at peace. We're going to live at peace because God looked at us and said, I'm going to take your belief, I'm going to take your faith, and we're going to be at peace. And so that's how we're called to live with others. So church, this week, this day, you and I get to bring such an amazing gift to everyone around us. We get to resolve in our hearts, look, we know what we believe. We know who we believe. And we trust Jesus enough that he has forgotten and does not hold account of my sin. So I think I can extend the same for others. I won't hold it against them. I'll forgive. So as we have been forgiven, let's forgive everybody else that we get to encounter. This week, you may have a special opportunity to do just that. Let's do it. It doesn't do us any good to know, oh yeah, you bet, Michael, all this is good stuff. And then Thursday, we get around our family, our extended family, or, you know, just friends or new people or different people. And maybe you don't even have to wait till Thursday. Maybe you'll go back to work tomorrow. And someone will give you an opportunity to extend mercy. Do it. All right. This morning, if you're not included, if you're not one with us, with Christ, we invite you to come. Jesus died for our sins, and he offers you life, eternal, and salvation. He offers you freedom from you. Those of us that have been set free, look, God is with us, and we have each other. If you haven't been set free, today's your opportunity. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you choose to put your faith in him, you can be baptized into Christ, be born again, have the past, everything bad, everything separating you from our Lord, taken away. If you need to respond today, please do so.